now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Kim Russell. Kim Russell has lived in and around several UFO hotspots in California, such as Ridgecrest and Tehachapi, and currently lives and works in Las Vegas, Nevada. She has had many encounters with interdimensional beings, to include blue light beings, orange aliens, grays, and tall grays. Kim is also a remote viewer and healer, is psychic and telepathic, and is also able to travel in and out of various realms and dimensions. She also has past life memories and experiences that continue to bleed through into this reality. Kim also remembers being sent down here into this hologram as part of a mission, in part to do earth magic in order to create a earth. More recently, Kim is involved in the paranormal community as a part-time investigator and researcher, as well as a radio personality and host of the new Tunnel Talk podcast, of which I was a recent guest. Thank you. Kim has had numerous interactions with such beings, ghosts, and demons, as well as real-life vampires. She is enjoying filming and producing videos and is currently working on a documentary regarding her experiences in Goldfield, Nevada, a very haunted town just outside of Area 51. Kim's website is vegasincparanormal.wordpress.com, and we'll have all of her contact and website information on our website and dedicated YouTube channel. So without any further ado, Kim Russell, an old friend of mine, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much.
Well, I've been looking forward to this discussion because to me, I think of these things as like two old friends sitting by a campfire, just catching up. Tell our listeners about yourself, about your upbringing, about your childhood and the formative experiences that, you know, led you to this awakening that, oh, wow, we live in a much wider realm. A lot more things go on here than is commonly understood.
Well, so I went over some of my memories and I was taking notes yesterday, and I really sat down and I have journals upon journals, and I just pretty much write the dates and times of all my experiences. Of course, I didn't write any of the childhood ones down, but I started reflecting back. And one of the first memories that I have of being about 3 or 4 years old, I believe angels or something would talk to me and play with me. And then I started listening or playing with something else or something else. But at a very young age, I realized I had some pretty magical abilities. I remember as a little girl, possibly around the age of 4, sitting in the bathtub and doing magic. You know, I had a little cup and I had water, and I would say things to the cup and the water and leave it there overnight and go back and do it again and do it again. And then things would happen, you know. One time I did something that scared the living daylights out of me, so I stopped. And that's pretty much where I kind of closed it off. And, you know, I was just too afraid to mess around like that anymore. And then moving on, I remember moving to Vegas. I was in first grade, and I had my own room, and I would go to bed at night, and my mom would turn off the light, kiss me goodnight, and then I would open my eyes, and I would see those shadow spiders. I don't know if anyone's heard of them, but they were big, like big shadow spiders. So on the folds of my blanket, I would see them peep up, and then they would just start slowly walking towards me. And another one would peep up, and another, till next thing you know, they were pretty much all over my bed or wherever, and I would scream bloody murder. So my mom would come run in, she would turn on the light, nothing there. She'd turn off the light, and they'd slowly creep up out of the bed and just start walking towards me. And that went on for a long time till I learned to just shut my eyes, scared to death, you know, just hide under the blanket every night when I went to bed. eventually, you know, I learned to be afraid. And then growing up and moving around to other houses, I would hear footsteps and things like that. And then I would look up into the windows and I would see those shadow men, you know, they kind of had like those big friar hats. And I always remember looking in on me, scared to death again, you know. But I would hear them walking around. And so you talk about a little girl that grew up just afraid of the dark. And then moving on, you know, nobody would believe me. And I would ask people, hey, did you hear? Nope, didn't hear. You know, so maybe I thought it was my imagination. Moving on after that, in high school, it just seemed like there was always haunted houses and always just things, you know, appearing and making noise and things. So then let's see, moving on, cause I know I'm leaving out stuff, but, my mom, she had some pretty amazing abilities. She could actually conjure up like holograms. And so, you know, I always thought that me and my mom were kind of special. My grandfather always told me, you and your mom are like encyclopedias, you know, you just don't know how to use it. And I never understood what he was talking about. And then I've had experiences where I've called upon angels because I was in a situation. And I was in a situation where I, you know, I was living with my boyfriend and he would get drunk and then he would swing at me and things like that. And I would just say, just go to sleep, leave me alone. And so this one night I was praying, please, Lord, send me 1,000 angels to make him go to sleep and to stop. I just kept saying it over and over. And then something landed on the roof and you could hear the footsteps just walking towards the bedroom part. And then very slowly and very hard. And all of a sudden the door flew open. And my boyfriend said, oh my God, look, 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 there's something in the doorway. I was too scared again to look. And I just, you know, hid. And within a matter of seconds, he was out like a light. And then the dog in the house was actually barking at the door and then would, I don't know if you could hear the footsteps starting to walk away on the house. The dog actually ran to the living room, was barking at something in the living room. So moving on to the alien aspect. So we were living in Needles for a while, and then we moved to Ridgecrest. And I was in high school. So now, I don't really remember too many experiences there, okay? But I would go to Tehachapi to visit my boyfriend who was staying there. And every night I would wake up with bloody noses. I mean, severe bloody noses. You know, I'm like, what's going on? It was embarrassing. It got to be so embarrassing to where I didn't want to go there anymore. I just went back to Ridgecrest. But nothing really weird would happen there. I eventually moved to Tehachapi, and my friends, they would go hiking and they would see UFOs flying over. Apparently there was some underground bases there in Sand Canyon. And one of my friends was able to sneak through and crawl into an air shaft, an air vent, and crawl down in there and actually see the aliens working with the people there. And so that's when I had one of my major experiences was in Tehachapi, and this was with a blue light being. So prior to that, this friend that actually crawled in the air vent and saw the aliens, he had a two-story house, and he was dating my girlfriend. So I'd go over there and spend the night, and he used to see like an owl in his window every night, an owl. And he would feel them talking to him, and they would touch him. They would like go like this on his skin, and he pretty much felt that he was being abducted a lot. So the one night I spent the night there, you know, I can't remember what happened. I woke up and I actually had like a little scoop of skin off of my knee or leg area, and I'm like, no way, No way. You know, I thought something very weird had happened. So, and then so when I went home, I lived in this little cabin at the top of a hill, and I lived by myself, and I would do meditation and things like that. That's when I got a major, major visitation. So one night, I was kind of laying there half in, half out, you know, that state that you have to get into to be relaxed enough to where you're more open to sensing things and feeling things. And I heard people talking outside. And I thought, wow, I don't have neighbors. Who's outside my house, you know? Next thing you know, I hear someone walking through my kitchen, walking around the living room, and walking to my bedroom. And I was so scared that, you know, I turned over and I just kind of hid. And I knew someone was standing there. You know, when you can sense that, you can almost feel their presence. I finally turned around and looked, and it was a blue light being. It was like, I don't know if it was a man or woman. It was kind of androidish. You know, didn't have any hair. It was just a it was actually kind of see-through, but the light, I guess the skin around it or whatever, it had like these veins, but they were like electrical circuits or whatever. And it just had all the colors of the universe. It was so beautiful, and it was just kind of glowing and things like that. And I'm like, holy hell. And it had a little box, like a little square box in its hand, and it handed it out to me. And I'm like, oh no, hell no, I'm not taking nothing from you. And I turned over, and as I turned over and hid, it set the box down on the bed behind me. And I just laid there until it went away, you know, I was scared to death. And finally I woke up, and well, you know, I had fallen asleep after that, and then I had woken up. Obviously, there was nothing there. You know, you never really know what to believe when you see these things. But shortly after that, and now I was living in Bear Valley, and it was directly on top of what Ant Hill, if you know, in the Tejon area, the Ant Hill area, all those tunnels under there. I used to do meditating, and I actually think that I set off an earthquake. There was an earthquake right there. It was the epicenter of right where I was meditating. You know, so that's when I kind of realized, whoa, something's happening to me, right? So I used to wake up, and my body would literally be vibrating so hard that I would be like, what's wrong with me? You know, vibrating, vibrating, vibrating. And I thought, something's going on, you know, something's messing with me. And then I had a dream or something where I was actually on a table, and there I was being worked on, and they just said, we're almost done, we're almost done. And I thought, wow, am I being abducted? Why is this happening? And then one day, something jolted me awake so hard, it was like the room lit up. It was like turning on a circuit breaker and having the most brightest lights in the room that you can imagine just light up my room, and me being jolted awake. And I thought, what is going on? You know, I was just having these experiences after experiences. And that's when I kind of started looking into aliens and things. And of course, you never really believe it, you know, you just don't know what's happening to you. I believe that I had some more visitations there. But that's when I started hearing kind of like a, I guess, guardian angel, a woman and a man or somebody was talking to me a lot. It was like I literally got switched on to where my abilities just were crazy. Okay. That's when I could start meditating to where I could start bilocating. So when I realized that the people that I was meditating and praying for and thinking about, they would start seeing like a apparition, or you know, like a white, I don't know, like a white lady, I don't know, just like a white apparition. And they would say, were you thinking about me or meditating around this time? And I say, yeah, I was. And they're like, I swear to God, I seen something. You know, my girlfriend would see me like standing next to her bed at night, like a light body. I'm like, how is this happening? I'm not, you know, I'm really not aware of this. So one time I told my daughter, because my daughter lived in Las Vegas, I said, I'm going to do something. I want you to be home at a certain day and a certain time. And I'm going to meditate. And I'm going to try to come visit you. And you tell me what you see. So I did my thing. And I meditated for a good half hour. But I didn't hear from her. So a couple days later, she calls me. She goes, oh, Mom, I forgot. She's like, I don't know who you think you are, but you freaking showed up at my house like an angel. You came through the ceiling, which is what I did, and you kind of just dropped into my room, and you kind of just put your arms next to you, and you kind of just stood up, and you were just looking at me. You were just like, you know, like this. I knew it was you. You were transparent, but I could see you there. And I thought, wow, okay, this really is happening, you know? And I realized that I just had these crazy, insane abilities, and I started becoming telepathic, and I could see what people were doing. I could tune into people and things like that. And then I decided to move to Vegas because I, you know, I just wanted to be with my daughters and things. And that's where things really got crazy. They really tuned it up. So I got a house with my boyfriend, and that's when I started hearing things like, you have to listen to Horus. And I'm like, Horus? I didn't know who Horus was. And then they would say, like, you have to restore him. You have to restore Horus. And I have no knowledge of the Egyptians, mind you. No knowledge at all. But so I started kind of listening to some of these podcasts and things, and that's where I came across you. And that's when we started talking. I would tell you about my experiences and things like that. So, I mean, that was 5, 6 years ago. And then I started seeing stargates and portals. And that's when that reptilian, I saw a reptilian in my room, which I had no idea what a reptilian was. It had spikes, like spikes coming out of its back from its head down the back. And they were kind of flimsy. And the face kind of looked like a kind of smashed nose. And then he kind of had like a little bit of armor on. And it came walking through my room and turned and went into my bathroom. And, you know, I'm like, what did I just see? So I just went into meditation because I was laying in my bed. I went into meditation and I had my angels come down and take this thing away. Or I imagined it in meditation. After that, I would be walking up my stairs, and I could actually see through my wall that there was some kind of a gremlin or something sitting on my bed, you know, like with a weird nose and the warts and hunched over, and it was sitting on my pillow, and I could see it. So I started developing, you know, I realized I could start seeing things through walls. And so I went to lay down. I thought, oh God, is there something on my pillow? Well, my dog jumped up on the bed and he was looking at something on the pillow. And so I'm looking, and the dog was like just mesmerized at my pillow. So, you know, I'm like, okay, there must be something there for your dog to see it. Anyways, so experiences like that started happening. And then I started having experiences of vampire type beings coming into my house. So I started developing some kind of a third eye where I could literally see into the astral and around me. And I saw coming up my stairs like this vampire looking creature with this grin on its face coming up. And I thought, wow, what is going on here? What is this, you know? And then I felt like I was always having to fight things off astrally. So I started following like the super soldier movement and started following, listening to people that were having experiences with abductions and things like that. And I actually had, and I'm not going to mention names, but I had one of the females in the movement coming to me in the astral, and I had to fight her off. I mean, it led up to, there was some events where I saw some things that happened in real life, which I didn't know about it till later. I actually saw what really happened, and I was walking through the streets trying to look for these people. And I went into a corner, like an alley, and this gal came at me, and she plunged this sharp object in my shoulder, and I had to pull it out, and I had to come after her, and I literally plunged it back. I'm not going to tell you where, but I plunged it back, and I had no idea who, why, where, why this was happening, but I eventually found out who it was and things like that. And I just felt like, I felt like once I started participating in some of these conversations online and saying a little bit about who I was and what I did, that it was just like flies on poop, the attacks that I was getting. And I know that I had some conversations with you along the way. One of the things that I wanted to mention was before I had moved to Las Vegas, my mom had moved to Tehachapi, and I went to go live with her. And I had some weird experiences happen there. I had just broke up with my boyfriend. I actually was engaged to him, and we broke up. So it was pretty hard. And I remember just crying a lot. And then one night, some balls of blue light, or I'm sorry, balls of green light came through the wall and were spinning around, floating around in my room. And then shortly after that, I had some star beings or some angels or something. I didn't know if they're angels or what, but they look like huge life-size stars. There was at least three of them in my room, and one of them was laying next to me, and I had been crying, and she started singing Amazing Grace to me, and she told me telepathically, "We love you so much." And then they gave me some very great words of advice, and they said, "How are you ever supposed to know who you're supposed to be if you don't trust your decisions?" Because I had broken up with this man, and I thought I was second guessing myself. You know, and I was trying to get him back in the whole bit, and they just said, you know, trust your decisions so that you can move on and with your life. Of course, I didn't, but and then they gave me some wings. I had some white wings float down and attached to my shoulders, like claws, just attach in there, and then the wings laid down and rested next to me. And they said, you know, you're supposed to be doing something important. And they told me all this telepathically. And then the next day, I told my mom about it. And there was actually some red, some green. I'm sorry, I keep seeing all these different colors. There was also some green residue on the outside of the wall where that energy came through, and it was there for my mom to see. I mean, it looked like some kind of a green residue. And so I don't know if that was balls of lights that eventually turned into those white bright beings, but that was in Tehachapi. And then moving forward, when I moved to Vegas, and then I started smelling roses, and there wouldn't be anything there. I started having visions of like a goddess fly into my face, I started having symbols come at me and things like that. You know, I just, all these things were happening to me, and I would tell people, and they would just look at me like, you know, I was like crazy. Again, I just had to keep it to myself. And the boyfriend that I was living with, like, sometimes I would lay on his side of the bed, and I would get up and I'd say, all right, I know what you're doing. You know, I'd have visions of different women and things. I just developed this where I could pick up the residual energy of people and see what they were doing. And I mean, the gifts or the powers or whatever you want to say were just growing and growing and growing to the point where, you know, it got a little scary. So when I started seeing the reptilians and the other vampires and things, you know, I could see them in the astral realm with my third eye. These vampires apparently were pretty numerous in my room, which I believe that those came also from listening to the super soldiers and some of the people that were talking about vampires. I thought that they were like the bat creatures that one of the super soldiers was talking about. I felt like, you know, they were just all around me as well. There was one incident where I was laying on my back in bed, and like I told you on our interview, it was like this black shadow thing swooped over me and laid on me and stuck something in my third eye. You know, if it was like a needle or something that got stuck in my third eye, and then I was able to see that I have three little disc things in there, whatever they're called. You know, I still don't know what to think of all that, except that I still have that lump there where they stuck that thing in there. But more about the vampires, they are really prominent in this area. And there's a whole swarm of really dark ones that are in the Pahrump area. Pahrump is what, 45 minutes to an hour, and it's going closer to Area 51. Apparently there's just a whole, and it's the bad ones, the really bad ones. You know, I had an interview with Duncan O'Finian, and he had said he spent some time in that area, and there was just bunches of them and the really bad ones. So moving on, I got tired of being attacked, and I just wanted to not have any associations with that whole super soldier group. And I met a friend, and he said, hey, we're doing paranormal investigations. You know, we're going to go ghost hunting. Do you want to go? And so I said, yeah. And so that's when I just turned my whole focus onto a whole nother paranormal area group. And so I met up with this team, and we started going to these locations, and I started filming, and they would play these voice boxes. I don't know if you know, if you've heard of them. They're voice boxes. You could hear EVPs, and you could communicate with the spirits. Well, every time they had one of those going and I'd walk in the room, I would hear my name out of the boxes, Kim, 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 like trying to get my attention. You know, and people would look at me all the time. I'm like, I don't know. And then so I started filming, and when I would go over the film at home, I could get the EVPs. And a lot of times I could hear them talking to me. And so some of the things that I could hear in my head were actually coming over onto the videos and things. And so I really started delving into the paranormal and trying to make these videos and things like that, because I was able to walk into a building and I would get the chills, and then I could hear those disembodied voices. And it was quite a trip. I mean, if anyone hasn't done that before, it's a whole nother world. And there's all kinds of things going on. We would always go to like different places, and I remember going into this one barber shop in Kingman, Arizona, was supposedly really, really haunted. And I listened to the evidence when I got home, and there was actually a woman, and she would be screaming at these entities, like, leave them alone. And she would actually be going after them. And another time, in the Goldfield High School, which I'm doing a documentary right now, I picked up that I was asking, who's here? Because I would see like wisps and I would hear a woman's voice and I was sensing things. And I said, who's here? And I got really strong as ever, a voice saying Hathor. Now, I haven't told you about Hathor. Hathor, I went to do Reiki training in Las Vegas as soon as I got here, and I was getting an attunement, and the Reiki master, one of the things that she asked us to do was to ask who our guardian angel was. And so I was there with my eyes closed, and I'm asking really hard, who are you? What's your name? Who's my guardian angel? And the first thing that I saw was one of those bulls, you know, like in the Spain, in the caves in Spain, the really old drawings of the bull. I got that flash in front of me, and then I heard Hathor. And I was seeing colors of red and things like that. Well, after the attunement, the group sat down and we went around the circle, like, okay, what'd you get? What'd you get? What'd you get? And people were like, oh, I got my grandmother, I got my mom, whatever. You know, when she got to me, she said, stop. I have to tell you what I saw. And so she said that standing behind me, she saw a very, very, very ancient, almost iconic, very beautiful woman standing there. And she was just like, she was so amazed that she couldn't even like speak. And I said, okay, does she look like this? And I described her and she said, yes. And I said, wow. I said, I've seen her and she's talking to me. And she gave me the name of Hathor. And I had no idea. Like, this is around the time where I was hearing, talk to Horus, listen to Horus, restore him. It was right around that time or before. I had no idea. And she just said that, you know, this is a very old, ancient, iconic goddess type woman, and she's with you. And I go, where is she? And you know, she's like, she's just right there, just like right there on you. And I said, okay. You know, and so I started looking into Hathor and stuff like that, and I realized who Horus was and things like that. And as time went on, I started getting this male figure was communicating with me, and he'd show up in my room and he would start talking to me. He's very tall, he wore a white robe, and he came to me one time and he showed me So those shadow figures, those shadow men, there was two or three of them, and they had those wide brimmed hats, and they were standing there, and he told me, they want to take you to an outpost. Do you want to go? And I said, hell no, I don't want to go to no outpost. And these reptilians or whatever, they shadow people, I have no idea. They were like, you know, she told us no. And I'm like, that's when I started feeling my power and my like abilities. And I'm like, no, you're not taking me to anywhere. And so the man that was talking in be like the mediator said, okay, if you don't want to go to an outpost, then I have to let you know there's going to be a war here on Earth. He said, you and your family will be protected, but you know, if you want to stay here, you're in danger. So and then he told me, he gave me a choice of what I wanted to do. And I said, I want to do earth magic. You know, I want to be able to use my abilities, my magic, in a way that's going to help the earth. So he said, okay, you need to stay in touch with me and listen for my next message. And every once in a while, I would get almost like a download or something like, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I would get these coordinates. I mean, it was just nuts. And then finally, I was so happy because I knew that part of my mission was now to help create a new earth. And knowing that, I just started meditating and meditating and meditating and just getting more and more information. I had a lot of memories from my past life starting to bleed through at that time too. So I was getting really confused. And I tried to figure out, what bloodline or something, what is making me to where I'm here now in this time. So I had this memory, and I remember just walking one day straight out and having this come to my head. So it wasn't like I was asleep and it wasn't a dream. It was a memory that fit, just came to my head. And I remember being in what I want to say like a garden area, and there was rocks, and I was standing next to someone. It almost looked like a Chinese, had like Chinese some kind of bushes and things, mountains off in the distance. It was just this gardens. And I was studying or talking to someone next to this huge rock, and oh, here comes this man, and I want to say he was like a sergeant or something, came to me and said, "We need you." And I said, "What do you mean you need me?" He goes, "We need you to go on another mission." And I was my jaw dropped because I said, "What do you mean? I just got back from a mission. I thought I was done with going out." And they said, we know, we told you, but we need the best." And I looked, and I remember talking with someone right there, and I said, "Well, what's going on?" And so he brought me over, and there was a couple of other people, and he showed me a hologram, and it was like round, and I was able to look down into it, and I was able to see what was going on here. And they were showing me what they wanted me to do, and I needed to come down here. And they had this big old elaborate plan for apparently they were calling all people, and because I had experience and things like that they felt like hopeful for me to come down here. And I said, "No, your plan is not going to work. That's the worst plan I've ever heard in my life. I'm not doing it." There's no way. And a part of me was really sad and hurt because I thought I had already earned my stripes and done with all this stuff. And they made me feel so bad. I guess we had people in here already that needed to be rescued or whatever. And I felt bad for those people. And so I said, "Okay, the only way I'm going to go back down in there is if we can do it my way." And then I was pulled aside, and they were working with me on a plan. And they said, "Well, what do you think is going to work?" And I said, "This is what I think is going to work, and it's the only way I'll go down in there." And I said, "Okay, we're going to let you have your plan." And I said, "Okay." So the next thing you know, they're showing me a computer, and now this other part with the computer and the part I'm going to tell you now, those happen in subsequent memories. So then I remember being into like a computer room, and they were showing me almost like an iPad. You know how you can swipe now? They were showing me different women, different avatars or whatever you want to say. And they were showing me, "Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be?" And they kept flipping. I'm like, no. None of those. Oh my God, what do you think? And then finally there was me. And it was me when I was probably around 18. And it was when I was at a football game, and I remember just standing there. So as you could see the lights of the football stadium, and I said, "Yeah, her, her, her. I want to be her." And I'm like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes. So they kept swiping and kept swiping. I'm like, no. And I'm like, her. Like, okay, it's done. And they started, whatever they do, typing in coordinates and like picking me. And they said, okay. And then I don't know, they prepared me for the plan or whatever. And they went off and made their plan and things like that. And then when I was supposed to be activated, they called me into this like landing area and they said, are you ready for your mission? And I said, yeah. And I was all excited because they had asked me to come down here and be the queen, okay? And I had said, no, I don't want all that responsibility. I don't want to be in that much limelight. I don't want to be in all that. I don't know. I guess I had been a queen in other lifetimes or something to where I didn't want to be, I just wanted to be a normal person. I said, the only way it's going to work is if you just let me be a normal person. And then I'll have my mission. And it was almost like I was, bye. My daughter. It was almost like I was going to be a double agent. Because they wanted me to still do parts of what they wanted me to do, but I still want to do what I want to do. So I said, if you just make me an average person, I can possibly do both. So at the end, they're like, okay. And they're like, are you sure you don't want to be the queen? And I said, well, maybe I do want to be the queen. Well, maybe I do want to be special. Maybe I do want to do something like that. And they're all, oh, okay, what do you want to do? And I said, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, okay, we'll add that into your script. And then when I got to the landing zone, they said, okay, here's your mission. We're not making you a queen. They're like, we're going back to the original plan that we wanted. And basically, everything that I had agreed to come down here was scrapped. And so I was so upset. And at that moment, I thought, we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. And I remember them floating me out into the darkness and then showing me a pin of light. And they're saying, that point of light right there, that's where you need to go. And so at that time, and that person was still floating with me. Telling me, we're gonna miss you. I was gonna be gone a long time, the whole bit, do good and all this stuff. And next thing you know, I'm going through a beam of light, boom. And then how I got, and then after that, I don't know. And so when these memories started coming at me, I mean, I was still into Hachipi. I'm like, what in the hell? It's like, what happened to me from my childhood to the point about 20 years ago to where I don't remember any of this. In fact, I don't even remember a lot of the childhood, But all of a sudden here now I'm remembering all this stuff. And so that's when I literally started meditating in order to get more information. And then so moving on in Las Vegas, the I don't know, the orders or the mission or whatever started weighing heavy on me, like I know I'm supposed to be doing something. And so I used to like say, what's going on here? I would yell and I would yell, and then I would get these messages that said, we don't have to tell you anything, We don't have to tell you anything. And I said, wow, I got duped. I feel like I got duped. And so here I am now. And things are starting to open up for me more and more. I'm getting more and more powers. I'm getting more and more abilities and things like that. And it's all for a reason, I know. Do you have any questions before I go?
Oh, just so many things to ponder. The Hathor aspect, Hathor, and I'll go by your pronunciation. That is interesting because it suggests some connection with the ancient Egyptian pantheon of gods and goddesses. You and I had discussions about that in the past regarding Horus and regarding Hathor. I believe there's something to that because some of us have likewise, well, yourself included, of course, have these past life connections with ancient Egypt, not just what the Egyptologists talk about. I mean, like 30, 40, 50,000 years ago. And some of us have had multiple lives in Egypt too. So I'm not going to elaborate on it, but in a recent communication to me, you reminded me of something that we had talked about in the past, about our ancient lineages, if you will, and the fact that in some of these lineages and past life incarnations, we were deeply involved in this cosmic espionage game, that some of the gods and goddesses that people know of today, that at some level we used to interact with them, work against them, spy on them, and do all this other kind of stuff, right? So all that is embedded in our genetic memory and our DNA profile. And I'm also reminded of some of the stuff that I can't, and I don't want to upset or offend our listeners, but so much of the work that you and I have done and others, you know, it needs to remain classified because, you know, it's sensitive, it's important. It delved into a lot of different issues. But when Kim is talking about this kind of cosmic lineage and coming here on a mission, that really resonates with me because some of us have at least partial memories of being in higher dimensional planes and in other realms and other worlds. And I've heard from others similar stories where they said, you know, they were called to a mission to come to Earth, right? And, you know, this call had gone out to get volunteers, essentially, to come here to willingly go through the process of the rebirth cycle and the reincarnation cycle and the mind swipe cycle. And that's a big ask, to ask a higher dimensional being to go into a world of so much darkness and so much chaos and confusion and rage and warfare, with the understanding at some level, and in your case, I hate to say it, but it sounds almost like you were in a way double-crossed, right? Like they've done with so many, even at a surface level, sending off operatives and espionage agents, and they're told one thing, but when they get on the ground, the reality is entirely different, right? They don't even really know who they're working for sometimes. And that's the case in the cosmic wars and the cosmic espionage spy game. So a lot of what you've said, well, virtually everything you've said resonates with me. And you talked about the Anthill. And what was the name of that other underground facility where that friend of yours had crawled into an air duct?
Well, that was in Sand Canyon. Sand Canyon.
I've never heard of that base. Where is exactly?
So it's actually in between Ridge Crescent to Tehachapi.
Okay. Now,
you know, if you're,
yes, I know Ridge Crest. For those who don't know, Ridge Crest is not too far from China Lake. Am I right? It's a notorious area as far as reptilians are concerned, as far as underground bases are concerned, as far as my lab activity is concerned. Just the energy there. I remember one time me and a friend were going out to see Bill and Pam Hamilton, actually. And the moment we turned on to Highway 14, you know, that highway that takes you in the direction of Lancaster and Palmdale, the energy just radically changed. We both felt it instantly because that whole area of China Lake Ridgecrest it's a very, in my view, it's a very dark place. And so it's not surprising that Sand Canyon or whatever it's called would be an underground base there. And also you talked about the anthill. And for those who don't know, the anthill is, it's over there at or near the Tejon Ranch. Am I correct? In the Tehachapi Mountains. It's a large underground facility within a mountain range. And Northrop is one of the corporations that developed a large underground facility there. And there are the reports I've heard, and a lot of the information that Bill Hamilton had, sources he developed back in the day, that Northrop, the Northrop facility beneath the anthill is a joint U.S. military aerospace alien facility. And there are a number of eyewitnesses. Some people have been taken inside, abducted, where they saw aliens and humans working together. And eyewitnesses have seen a large number at times of craft, various types, saucers, large boomerang-shaped craft, etc., going to land and depart from this place. So at least in the old days, I don't know about now, but it was an active, lack of a better term, spaceport kind of place. So, and also Pam Hamilton, she was abducted, taken on board a craft, and then she was looking out of a porthole, and then she noticed that she was flying towards the Tejon Ranch Anthill area. And she saw, as the craft was descending, looking out this porthole, she saw a part of the mountainside shift over, like a hatch being slid over. And then she looked down and she saw like a landing pad, like a big black landing pad with the number 41 on it, if memory serves. And then the craft descended through this hatch into the underground facility, landed. The hatch above closed, and the covering of the hatch had vegetation, dirt, camouflage to make it blend in perfectly with the terrain. Bob Lazar talks about a similar thing with the facility at S4 that he worked at, where the sides of the mountain there at S4 were just perfectly blended in with the rest of the mountainside. And after that experience, Pam had gotten a friend who was a private pilot, had his own light plane, and they went flying around the mountain looking for that place. Of course, they didn't find it because of the camouflage and all that, but she had very clear memories of being taken inside there. So it's interesting that with your background, you find yourself in places like Tehachapi, Ridgecrest, and then Vegas. Vegas is a whole nother story. And I like your thoughts on this because I knew a lot of the old timers in Vegas back in the late 80s, early 90s. And they talked about this one mountain that would open up at a certain time of the day. And then suddenly they were sensitive enough to feel it. But it probably affected everyone in Las Vegas to some degree, but they noticed that when the top of the mountain opened up and they could see with binoculars and whatnot, like antenna arrays and what have you, that they would begin to feel the effects of the energy waves being generated by these antenna on top of this mountain. And again, the mountain opened up, and when I would be hanging around them, they would say amongst themselves, is the mountain open today? And I didn't know what they were talking about. And what they meant was that later on they briefed me on it, was this mountain, when the mountain top is closed, nothing goes on. But when they look over sometimes and suddenly there's an installation up there, that's what they mean when they say that the mountain is open, right? And then they noticed that they would begin to feel these electromagnetic frequencies. It would start to put them off, right? Make them feel funny, right? And to the point where, if memory serves, news of this got around so much that I think that even local media became interested, probably in an effort to debunk it. But the thing about Las Vegas is you have Nellis nearby, you have Area 51, as a crow flies, not too far away. I've been there a number of times. I'm not Area 51, but in the Rachel, Nevada. So there's a large reptilian presence there, right? Because the Mylabs and abductees I knew there, so many of them had reptilian experiences. So many of them had military experiences. And you felt that that vampire element that was there was, it seemed to be pretty strong there. And did you get the feeling these were interdimensional beings, or were they physical somewhere and they projected themselves astrally? Or like you had the ability to project yourself astrally? Or it seems to me like they were a distinct species unto themselves. So what do you think about that?
Well, I've done some research on them, and initially they were interdimensional or astral. And then after I started doing ghost hunting, I actually met some physical real ones. In fact, there was two vampires on the team that I initially started with. And then that's when it really hit the fan. Okay. So I mean, and there's a lot of vampires here that I'm finding out. And there's, and like there is, there's different ones. Okay. So there's like an astral one that, will meditate and will go and, astral project, and they'll stay attached by their cord, that silver cord. And they'll go out and they'll literally suck people's life force. And what happens is somebody's blood actually has the life force that's in the blood. The blood actually kind of, now this is hard to explain. I have it in notes, but let me just try to refresh my memory. It kind of like evaporates or changes to where it's a portion of it is in your life force. So your blood actually transposes or overlaps into your life force. So your blood is not just red and liquid and solid. Your blood is also like a vapor, or it can change form, and it's also in your life force. So now they can feed on that, and they're literally feeding. So there's that type. And then there's another type that are human and actually drink blood. They get some kind of life force off of that. And there's the two vampires that were on the team with me. Now, one of them was a psychic vampire or an energy vampire, and one of them was a real vampire. And I will be, if you're interested in, I have been putting together a documentary about that whole experience. It's just been hard doing because of the nature of it, and trying to expose people trying to expose people that I know I'm going to get attacked after it. But so the energy vampire, she was a female, and she claims to be Mary Magdalene. And when I actually told her about the Hawthorne thing, she came after me. I would see her coming at me in my, astrally, telling me she's going to bleed me. I would see drops of blood floating up, and mind you, my third eye, I am wide awake. If anything comes at me astrally, and if I'm asleep, and that's when they come at you, your third eye wakes up. And then you could see the blood leaving. I would hear banshees like wailing sound. I would start hearing that. I started seeing like an old hag with long hair and dark circles, just looking like an old hag thing. The things that were coming at me were just too much for me to handle. So I had to get a hold of my shaman, and I had to ask for protection from that. Now, I did confront that lady, and I said, look, I know what you've been doing. I've seen you do this. And she got so nervous and she said, well, I didn't say it was going to bleed you. I actually said I would bleed for you. So I actually caught her and she actually admitted. Now, I also got from, because I would go into meditation because I was making a documentary where we went into the Goldfield High School and some really bad things happened there. People got attacked. She was actually out in the motorhome meditating. And I, through meditation, I could see that she was actually going in with her astral body and attacking kids that were in there. So I could hear the reasons why she was doing it. She basically told me that she can't get energy, that she has a disease where she can't get energy on her own. She has to feed off people. Now, what had happened in that experience was there was kids in there that were on the tour with us. The other vampire on the team who literally said that he is part, he has seven parts, three parts of Dracula are in his soul or whatever, and that he has to feed. And he literally does drink blood. And he literally does have a donor. And anytime he wants to do like blood magic or a spell or a curse, he'll go and he will have sex with this person and drink their blood. And then that powers them up to where they can do these, whatever they do. Okay, so I documented, I was fascinated. I started recording and filming all of these experiences and these people's stories. And again, that's all going to be in my documentary, but it's very sensitive, you know?
Yeah, take all necessary precautions. I mean, just like what
Well, no, these people know, and they basically agreed. But how it affected me, I didn't always come forward, but it affected me really bad. You know, I would be sleeping and my third eye would wake up and the one vampire would be in bed with me, like laying there. And then, so basically what was happening was those two vampires were fighting with each other at that Goldfield high school trip where there was kids in there. They were fighting over those kids' energy. One was trying to protect. I mean, it was a big mess, okay? Big mess. And then because I was trying to expose it, they came after me. I literally was being drained. I had, like I said, I had to get my shaman to help me with that. My shaman said, yeah, there's definitely a lot of vampires, not just those. There's a lot of vampires. And because of my light was so bright, and you know, that's the backside of being enlightened is you get fed off of if you're not careful, you know? And so come to find out now, what you would, the person that allows to be fed off of and drank are not, some of them aren't necessarily vampires. They're called black swans. And I don't know if anyone's heard that term, but there's a term called black swan and they do favors for these vampires and on return, they, you know, they give their blood up. And so I'm able to see astrally some of the other vampires that are actually in the community, the awake and aware communities that are posing as light workers. So again, you have to be really careful. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating and thought provoking first segment with Kim Russell. Kim, could you give us your website address and your contact information if people want to share their stories or get in comms with you?
Well, I do have a website. It's brand new, and you had mentioned it earlier. I think it was VIP or VIP Inc. Paranormal. I'm not sure. But you can get a hold of me on Facebook. Kim Russell, or I have Haunted Reality TV on Facebook, or my YouTube is Haunted Reality TV. And the next portion, I'm going to go ahead and go into some of my past lives and things like that. So it should be good. Should be good.
I'm looking forward to that. And then to our everyone watching this that if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.